Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's 5:30, and the Craig Kidd County Jonesboro Public Library Board meeting is called into session. So the first item on the agenda is the minutes of the October 9th meeting. These were mailed out, right, to us?
Yes, last Monday.
So everybody's had a chance to read those, perhaps?
I'm moved to approve that's been presented.
Okay, motion's been made to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, first time through, we'll announce everybody so the audience will know who you are. We'll vote. Start with you, Beth.
Beth Smith, approved.
Mark Higgins, approved.
Michael Watkins, approved.
Janice Griffin, approved.
Mike Johnson, approved. Oh, I'm on the end. I'm the last one. I'm usually looking down there because there's more going that way. Okay, so the motion carries. Thank you. Okay, next item on there is the 2022 audit report. Again, Ms. Williams.
I would like to thank the board again for letting us do the audit again this year. Sarah and her staff were very helpful, as was Vanessa. It went pretty smoothly this year, I feel like. I'm just going to go over these financial statements high level. If you have any questions at all, just let me know, and I will stop and answer any questions you have. The first page I'm going to look at is the independent auditor's report. This report is, if you would see at the top, it says that you have a qualified opinion. And the reason that you have a qualified opinion is because there's a couple of things that do not get recorded on these financial statements that are required. One of those things is a pension liability. The library is in the Craighead County pension, and the way that that's presented, it's for the entire county. And it would be not impossible, it would be doable, but it would be difficult and take a lot of time to figure out what little piece belongs to the library. So in the past, the board has always decided not to calculate that. And so there's that main thing there that doesn't get recorded. Otherwise, there is other matters, as the library has decided not to do management discussion and analysis, which is a required part of these financial statements as well. Okay. Is that
typical?
You know, I've looked at a few other libraries, and some of them don't do that as well. I mean, it's just a lot of cost, and what benefit do you get from it? Right, so, I mean, most probably do not. Now, if you were in the fund all by yourself and you got a report that said this is your liability, yeah, that would be easy. But since you're within Craighead County, it makes it a lot harder. On page 4, this is your statement of net position. Shows your cash and cash equivalents and receivables. The cash is up this year about $1.3 million, it looks like. And then your second section is your capital assets. And if you see, in 21, you had construction in process. That was the children's expansion, which was in finished and placed into service in 2022. So that is why that changed there. And then there at the bottom, we have long-term And these items are cash and investments and endowments, and we put those under long-term because they're restricted and you're not going to really use those funds in the next year.
So you're saying we have just over $700,000 in endowments, and we can pull the earnings off of those endowments, but not the capital, not the principals?
Correct. And then the capital improvements, I do believe that if you vote on that, you can use that, but it has to be only used for capital.
Right.
Okay. Your liabilities really didn't change from last year very much, but your net position, if you see that total net position went up by like $1.2 million. The next page is your statement of activities for 2022. If you look, this financial statement has the ARPA funds in it as well. It's under the grants and contributions column. And the way this is set up here is this is program revenues in these two columns here, but that first column is just the expenses. So when you get over to the right there, that's net. So that ARPA funds were used to offset your maintenance and operations for this year. And then the second section is just your general revenue, and your change in net position is 1.1. this year. And if you compare that to the next page, which was last year's, you can see that it's up, and the majority of that increase is that ARPA, because you received the ARPA at Jonesboro and at Curly Ridge, which was in
Jonesboro.
So the overall change there was 1.1. Okay, the next page, page 7. This is the governmental fund balance sheets. The difference between this and the regular statement of fund balances or net statement of net position is that for governmental, they do not recognize capital assets. Those are called expenditures. So you will see at the bottom the capital asset amounts and then your long-term liabilities or other liabilities that are not recognized for governmental, which is the accrued vacation. So we have to take those back out or add those back to get to the, we add those back to get to that first statement.
Right.
And then in the next statement, the governmental statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance, this one is pretty much the same as the first one. This one does give you a little more detail of everything. You can see the that ARPA funds there at the top that you received this year. And then if you look on down to about the fifth expenditure, you'll see that there's capital improvements there. That's where you're expensing what you paid this year for capital improvements instead of putting those on the balance sheet or the statement of functional expenses. And then at the bottom, you'll see that the net change this year was 1.2, and then you go ahead and come down to the and then change of the capital assets, and then the change there in that vacation to get back to that 1.1 that was on that first statement. Okay, the next several pages are going to be your notes to the financial statements, and those are going to give you some more detail about where we came up with our numbers and kind of tie back with to the financial statements themselves. Note 8 does show you your capital assets, what's being depreciated, and then it ties out to the net assets that then goes back to your balance sheet. And then on, we'll just look at the last page. And that is the schedule of findings and responses. And as usual, there's the lack of segregation of duties. You know, they have some segregation of duties within the accounting department, but they just don't have enough to say that they're totally segregated, and that's just because of their small staff. But for instance, Sarah can do everything. She's cross-trained someone else in her department to also do everything, but since they both have the ability to make deposits and write checks and all that, you know, we have to put that in there. They have added a lot of checks this year that they did not have in the past. You have a board member who is looking at the credit cards now, which you did not have in the past. I believe somebody now is looking at the bank reconciliations as well. So you've got some more controls in there, yeah. And that helps. But I wouldn't say that you're perfect. And I'm not sure that you'd ever be, unless you added a lot more staff. The second section kind of talks about what we had last year. Of course, we had the lack of segregation of duties. Then last year, we also had that we had to make quite a few journal entries, and they were material to the financial statements. And this year, we did not have near as many, and a lot of the adjustments that we made, for instance, one is to reclass from expenditure to assets for the capital expenditure. That is something that she would not do because your budget is based on expenditures as well. So she's going to keep that there, and that's going to be something that we reclass every year. So those type of standard journal entries was mainly all we had to do this year. So we took that off. We did not add that this year. And it just tells that it was no longer needed. And then the third finding was that we said that you had quite a few credit cards, and that opened you up to some risk. And since then, I believe you've closed probably five or so of those, and you've also added that somebody on the board is looking at the credit card statements, so that helps as well. So we decided that was no longer needed on the material witnesses either. Okay. I know that's hard. Those are hard financial statements to understand, but I can go into further detail if there's anything, any questions, if you need any clarification of anything. I'd be happy.
I have a question. Okay. Again, it's my first time to see the audience.
Okay.
My questions are very elementary. How long have you all been doing it? How long has your firm been doing it?
Three years.
And then, okay. And then I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, the reason we're only now seeing the December 31st, 2022 is because they have to be so tied to the one that's as of June 30th.
Yes, ma'am. We usually try to do them physically at the same time, besides coming in once to do the June or the December and then have them come back later and do the other one. So we just time it at the same time. So we did it in like August, I believe. So that was right after the June 30th, and then we were shooting for this meeting.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Everybody understand what Beth was asking and how it was answered?
Okay.
We do the accounting January to January, but our money and our regular thing is like all states. That goes from July 1 to June 30th. And so since those two schedules are not on the same schedule, that causes us to have to be a little bit later in getting things done.
It's, if you compare CRRL, their year end is June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Craighead County is December 31st.
Right.
On the years that we do both of them, we wait.
Right.
On the years that we do just Craighead County, then we can get it done sooner.
Sooner, right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Is there any further discussion? Anybody else have any other questions that they want to ask the auditors? Okay. Now, notes on here, you have 2022 audit report. Do we don't need to do anything on the 2021 audit report? Or is that, do we need
correct
to approve that?
We did that one last year.
Okay. All right. So that... all right, so I'll entertain a motion if there's no further discussion on approving the 2022 audit report.
I guess I'll just make a comment. I mean, it seems like we probably need to make steps towards increasing some segregation. That's been a recommendation the last number of years. And I don't know, it seems like we're okay with that, but I think we probably should, you know, make some efforts.
Well, I mean, if there were issues with the audit every year, then I would think we would have to take some measures. But since there are not, and we're such a small staff, it's kind of that way with any small staff. There's always going to be that segregation of duty issue. But since the auditor never finds any issues, I don't think we need to do anything.
We certainly can't hire anybody else since we're low on funding already.
Well, if you went to enough of these for public institutions like we are, you'll find that essentially nobody, everybody has that. Because every year that I worked in a school district, with every school district I ever worked, that was part of it. Because you have the homeroom teachers that take up money for the bus tickets to ride to the zoo, and that has to come in, and they sell pencils out of the office and paper and cough drops and things like that. And you just can't have 15 people in the central office staff trying to control what amounts to less than probably $1,000 or something like that. I mean, it's just the cost of the employee and everything to manage that, just that, when if somebody took off with $1,000 and they took every penny of it, it's not economically feasible. So that's the reason. It's not like we're trying to get away with anything. Am I right?
Don't right.
All the
cost benefit. That's
cost exactly benefit. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Thank you, Mark. Any other questions? Not that we can't continue to look and find ways to do it for sure. Yeah, just like we did last year with the credit cards and so forth. Yeah. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion then to accept the 2022 audit report.
I move to accept the 2022 okay audit report.
Michael has made that motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, Ben. Motion been made and seconded. Not that much discussion, so we'll take a voice vote. All in favor of approval of the budget, say aye.
Aye.
Audit, I meant. Audit report. Any not approving? Okay, that motion carries then. We accept that. Again, we thank you for
your
valuable service
to
us. Yeah. Thank you very much. Staff recognitions.
Yes. Happy times.
Good times.
We've had several staff members who have presented at either meetings or at conferences this year, and so we wanted to recognize them. And then we also have an award for an outstanding employee of the year. We found someone who's gone above and beyond all year and wanted to recognize that person. So first of all, I would like to do a certificate to Megan Whitmire for his presentation at the Craighead County Historical Society. And the title of his presentation was Newspaper Scanning, Genealogy, and the Timeline Project. And that was in April of 2023. I just wanted to give you that.
Yeah.
Next, I'd like to give a certificate of recognition to Stephanie Sweeney. She is our manager of our youth services department. She did a presentation at Arkansas Library Association annual conference in October. Title of her presentation was Art is a Journey, Not a Destination, Process Art versus Product Art. She did a really great job on TV.
Excellent.
The Arkansas Library Association annual conference, we had co-presenters. First one was Lauren Rose Thompson. She and Allie Tran did a presentation entitled Outreach Programming for Seniors with Alzheimer's and Dementia. So I'd like to give a certificate to Lauren Rose Thompson. If you need to
mention.
Stephanie Sweeney to come up to make the announcement for our Outstanding Employee of the Year.
Okay. She has a speech. So, the Outstanding Employee Award of 2023 is presented to Amanda Starksville.
Amanda, all right.
Relentless pursuit of excellence, unwavering dedication, remarkable accomplishments. You've made profound impact to the library. Your exemplary leadership and exceptional work ethic set a high standard for our library. And we applaud your outstanding achievements, your commitment to our shared goals, and the positive influence you've had on our workplace. Your passion, professionalism, and teamwork inspire us all, and you make us all look really good. Mostly me.
Here's a fancy box for it. Shiny stuff, so if you know, and then there's a little gift in there.
Thank you.
Good job. Thank you. Thanks, Steph.
Thank you all very much. And on a personal note, I take no credit for Nathan, but he was one of my high school students. Yeah. Good one, too. Very good one. All right. Our financial report then, Sarah.
All right. This is third quarter, so the end of September is the cutoff of these numbers. Everything looks great. We are a little under 75% on all of our three main categories, which I like. I never like to get close. So everything looks great. Through the end of September, we have collected $1 million, almost $1.2 million in tax money. So that's where we were sitting at the end of September. To date, though, we have gotten $1.4 million. So we've collected about $257,000 since these numbers cut off. But we are right on track to stay within budget through the rest of this year. And we should have a nice little cushion to end the year with.
Okay. And as I like to point out, each month we have this, we receive $1.1 million, and we've spent $2.6 million. Hence the reason the library needs to have a carryover fund. That's exactly the reason why. So thank you, everyone who pays their taxes and voted to support the library. Is there anything else you want to share? Anybody have a question that you'd like to ask concerning any of the information that she's presented?
When we draw this money from the county there, like at 1.8 and this we're at 1.4 now, do we draw this some more along the year?
Yes, I will.
I know a lot of people won't pay their taxes and now you're going to get that second, third notice not paid the interest.
Yes, I expect two checks, one from the city, one from the county in November, and that should be, typically those are larger because the cutoff date is mid-October and a lot of people wait. So we'll get two more checks this month, we'll get two checks in December, and we'll even get two checks in January that would still go on this. So.
But it's probably not going to even total 2 million though.
Well, I figured that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there was more money out there because
we are expecting some more, but not nearly what we are used to working on.
Okay. I have a question too, and again, I apologize to my colleagues, but it's my first time to go through some of this. So somebody made a comment, if they pay their taxes, property taxes late, there are penalties that the county assesses to that. Do we get a penalty or is it going to be?
I don't know, but I can find out.
I'm just curious. And then also, if they are in arrears for their property taxes in 22, and then they pay it in 2024, do we get that money back? Like, is there, when those checks come to us, I'm just trying to understand.
Sure.
Will we get it?
Yeah, right. The checks, whenever they pay, that will go on. So if they pay these taxes that were due in mid-October in 2024, that we would get that money in 2024 for us to use in 2025. Yes, ma'am.
But if I'm in arrears, if I'm behind 2 to 3 years, I'm just a deadbeat, don't pay my taxes, I finally come in there and pay them, does the county then give us the money that's due to us for the mills? The answer would have to be yes.
Sure.
I imagine my own question. Yeah,
yes,
it has to be. They have to be that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, if they're that far behind, you don't pay your taxes up here. You have to go to the level up.
Right? Yeah.
And people like to get Alzheimer's or something like that, they just forget or forget for years.
Uh-huh.
You have to pay at the level up.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just know that we all see that sheet of paper in the sun, you know, when it's all the way back and forth.
Yes.
With all the naughty names.
Yes. I just always am surprised. I just want to get our cards.
Another reason why the library needs to be forward funded.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And school districts and anyone else who runs a budget on public taxes. Okay, are there any other questions? Comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion then that we approve the financial report.
So moved.
Okay, motion's been made. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of accepting the financial report as Sarah has presented it, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Sarah, for your good work. We appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
For sure. Treasurer's report is next on the list.
We have not heard from our treasurer. We sent her a note stating when everything was ready for her to come look at, and we haven't heard from her, and we haven't heard from her today. So, I mean, she has an unexcused absence tonight. We don't know.
Okay, so that's Kylie, right?
Kaylee.
Okay. All right, so we'll pass on that then. Director's report.
Okay, we'll go to statistics. And I'll show you some. Differences in some of our numbers that are seem a little bit alarming. First of all, our traffic is up. And our total circulated print is down a bit from last year, but our electronics are up, which is that trend that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So the e-books are definitely growing. We dropped our purchases in print material a little bit so that we could put more money into e-books. So that's why added to collection print is a little bit lower. New library cards, adults, big difference, half the number in 2023 as 2022. And the reason that it was so high in 2022 was that was what everyone's calling the post-COVID high. Everybody was getting back in business, and so they all came back to get, or people came into the library to get library cards. So that's why it's so much higher. But if you'll look at the teens and the children's, that has grown mm-hmm. quite a bit from 2022 to 2023. So we do have a drop in adult, but we have a growth in teens and children, which is very important. So that's a lot of people who've never had a library card before. So it's not as bad as it looks. Adult programming and youth services programming have been lowered because we've cut our budget. We've been, you know, trying to prepare for next year, and so we've cut our budget and we've cut some staff already, and fewer staff, fewer programs. So that's why some of those numbers are down.
That's a significant drop.
Yeah, it is. It's just that's what happens when you don't have enough people to run your programs. I wanted to add, too, I don't have it on here, but I thought maybe you would ask sometime what kind of access we have to ebooks through our Overdrive Consortium. Practically every library in Arkansas is in our consortium, and that means that our cardholders have access to 109,480 ebooks. And over 31,000 e-audiobooks, and over 3,300 copies of digital magazines. I didn't even know that many existed. But if you want a magazine, you know, and sometimes you'll read a snippet, like on Apple News, you'll read a snippet of a magazine article, and you can't get the whole thing unless you pay for Apple News. Well, you can get on Overdrive and get that article from
how many,
a magazine.
How many, what was that number?
3,327 copies of digital magazines.
I didn't know.
Yeah. I know, it's amazing. But the 109,480 ebooks, that's just incredible.
It is.
And that number stays about that same amount every month. It does, because they weed just like we weed on our shelves. You know, if things aren't checked out, or if your time is up on how many checkouts you have on an ebook, then that will be taken out of the record. So that number kind of stays the same. But I thought you all would like to be up on how many we have. So if people ask you about it, just say, you've got over 100,000 copies that you could look at.
What counts as traffic? Is that a number of factors? Is that people actually walk through the door? Is that their website?
That people traffic is, like, what is that? That's people walking in the door. Yeah.
People walking in the door.
Yeah.
You count them up.
We have digital counters. Yeah. Any questions about statistics? Anything?
So we have more books than someone could probably read in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, and they keep writing more.
More. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Just add to your pile all the time. Mm.
Anything else?
Not for statistics.
Okay.
Next, I have a meeting room policy update. If you have looked at this, since I sent it to you, the changes are in yellow. We would like to begin, effective in January, charging the public for use of the round room and the Civic League room. A lot of libraries now are charging for public rooms. If we had done that this year, so far our revenue would have been $4,720. I'm proposing that we charge $25 to use the round room and $15 for the Civic League room. And that's not per hour, that's just per...
Per event.
So if somebody wanted it all day, they could pay $25. It wouldn't be per hour. The fee would be payable to the library, and I also found out that we can take credit cards for it. So that first paragraph that has yellow would read, for a fee payable to the library by cash or credit card, period.
Or check?
No, we're not going to...
Take checks.
Advertise checks.
Okay.
We might check. If we knew somebody, we might take a check, but we're not really keen on taking checks. So cash or credit card. Yeah.
So Vanessa, I was looking at the Grimmies guidelines, and in the first bullet point we use including but not limited to wedding standard reviews and credit cards.
Right.
But in the second bullet point we use this includes but it's not excluded to the friends of the library fundraisers and meetings. Should that either be but it's not limited to? Did you use that same sort of language
about? Oh, wait, where are we? Okay, this includes.
But not limited to.
It's not limited to, yeah.
Instead of
it
included.
Should be limited, uh-huh.
Okay, change that word.
Since we're just starting to charge, are we going to have them sign something that acknowledges that they're responsible for the policies and things?
Oh, yeah, and they do anyway. When they book the room, they have to fill out or sign a form.
I know the rules and I'm going to follow.
Yes, definitely. But, you know, it costs us to run these rooms.
Yeah,
and,
it does.
And you know, we have to pay to have the carpet cleaned occasionally. And
I'm not sure 25 is enough.
I wanted to start slow. If we slam people with $50 or whatever, you know, I don't know. I just kind of thought, let's start slow. And if it's successful and we don't have any problems with it, we may raise it later. But
I think, and I trust you again. I'm so new. I'm not here to make changes. But, you know, $25 is reasonable if you're here for 2 hours. If you're here for 8 hours, maybe it ought to be double. Maybe it's, you know, 1 to 4, uh-huh. 45.
We don't really have anybody that stays that long.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
50, you know, because you're right. There's Coke on the floor. I ran the alumni center. There's Coke on the floor.
I know.
There's, you know, they spill something every time they knock the wall. So it's just, I want us to be in a position where we don't have to start and then start again.
Right.
So I trust you.
No, but I'm open to suggestions. I mean, that's why I bring these things to you all, you know.
We could have a minimum fee, and then for anything over a certain number of hours, there would be an additional cost. If we wanted to do that.
Does people rent it for all day ever?
Yes.
Some do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once in a while.
But not mm-hmm. often, but there are some.
Yeah.
I agree with Beth. I think this is too cheap.
Okay, well.
Well, we can't make all.
What do you want then?
We can't make all 4 million tax cut up on this. millage cut is what I'm saying.
Start somewhere, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's why we're doing it.
I would agree. It seems awful cheap. Because, like you said, you've got to clean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, even if you ask them to clean, run the vacuum cleaner stuff,
you still
got to clean.
Well, if we had a minimum charge, and then for a certain number of hours, but then every hour after that, you know, you increase the number of opportunities for somebody to spill something or mm-hmm. tear something up, and put that number in there, then the people who are here the longest would pay the most, and the ones that are not. Would and mm-hmm. this is not based on a group size either.
No.
So you could have a group in here that's a book club of 12 people, or you could have a whole room full of people in here. So
125 people make more business than 12.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So I don't know. Do we need some kind of sliding scale on the number of attendees taking attendance and all of that, or is that more work than we're going to get?
I think that's going to be a lot of work for the people that take the reservations.
Yeah.
They're sitting in the back going, don't do that.
I'm actually more in favor of a set fee, and I think more than 25, I don't have a number in my head, but I think 25 is like, you can almost not have lunch for $25 or dinner somewhere.
Yeah.
And for 2 to 4 hours, you know, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
And then above 4 hours, it's an additional $25 every hour. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But are they going to have to tell you how long they're staying if we do it by the hour?
Well, we do. Well, they do anyway. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. we have a calendar and we have it by the hour. Yeah.
They pay in advance because your statement says they have to have the money in 24 hours.
Yeah, they pay in advance.
Pay in advance. And, you know, when their time's up, there could be another group coming in. So they got to go and do business somewhere else if they're not done.
Well, what about $25 for 1 to 4 hours?
And then above 4 hours, it's $25. I mean, that's not, you're going to have your long-term people, but...
Yeah.
I don't have any experience with how much business you're talking about that would impact.
Well,
can you look at your previous?
The libraries that, we have like Round Room had 106 so far this year. They've used this room 106 times. And the Civic League room has been used 138 times.
Now, the Civic room is small, though, right?
Yeah, it's for like board meeting kind of things.
Yeah, like...
And that's why I wanted to only charge $15 for Ed.
You can only put like 15 people in there?
Yeah, about.
At the most. So that's more like like when the board meets. Like
most people just want it when it's a private, an interview or just a small meeting.
All right, so let's figure out what's a number.
What now?
I'm just saying.
If we're going to raise the one for the bigger room, then let's do $25 for the Civic room, and then raise this room, the rent for this room for 1 to 4 hours, and then have each hour after that, and then they'll come in and get their business done. They won't dawdle around, and then that's when accidents happen.
To start.
How much?
What about $50? Because only $12 an hour. If I got it 4 hours, 12 and a half, that's not anything.
No.
I agree.
Okay, so $50, 1 to 4 hours, and then the Civic room, is it the same thing? Can you rent it all day, or most of them are little?
So $25 for 1 to 4 hours?
1 to 4 hours.
So what if they want to go over? Is it going to be another $25 or another $50?
Well, you're doing half of it, half the amount for the $50 room. So $20 for each additional hour. Most groups aren't going to stay that long in that little room.
But Civic room, $25 for 1 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Just $25 flat for 1 to 4 hours, and then
$20 for
each additional hour, $20.
$20. What do you think, guys?
I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with 15 because in that Civic League room, you're not taking up tables and chairs all the time. It's stationary.
Right. Right. You know, it's just basically cleaning it. It's not setting it up or moving anything around.
15's too cheap. Let's go with 25.
We did for the Civic room.
Yeah. I've got $25 for 1 to 4 hours. How much for each additional? I wrote down 20, but I can change it.
20.
20? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you can try it.
Yeah, we'll see it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so Round Room, $50 for 1 to 4 hours.
And $25 for each hour after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then on the Civic League room, I know that under the food heading, it said groups must have prior library approval for food, and I think we need to modify that and say prior approval from the library director. And if you're the one, Vanessa, that signs off on all those things.
Okay.
If you're the staff person that does it, we can work a different one. But you're the one who signs off. Are you the one who signs off for taking that food?
I don't take the reservations.
Who would that be?
It's... Michaela and Kate in the back row, these two. Love my precious.
You could say Vanessa, her designee.
Or her designee, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Library director or designee.
Now, where is that?
From the library director or their designee.
Oh, that's under
Gavin.
Civic League, right?
It would be the same under food and training lab.
Okay, you got the gist and put it in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so the refund thing and... that's all right.
Yeah, I think we'll add in our the contract that if they paid for 4 hours and they only stay three, they're not going to get a refund.
Right.
So we'll mm-hmm. add that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody will. We'll add that in the contract.
Okay.
Do
we have anything in here that that talks about if there's any damage done that they're responsible?
Mm-hmm.
I know under user responsibilities.
Yeah, there's something in the contract they
yeah.
signed about that.
I got you. Damage to the rooms, equipment, mm-hmm. and furniture is okay.
Yeah, there's only one thing I added in that one in yellow that wasn't on there.
Oh.
So do you want to bring this back to us in December, or do we just want to authorize service?
Well, we can discuss this, and then someone can make a motion to accept this with the changes that we agree on, and we can go from there, if that's all right. This look and everything that's on here has already been approved except for what's marked in yellow. Okay, so if we go on down, anybody have anything changes in the user responsibilities? Let's go on down to available rooms.
Oh,
that's where our fee is.
The fees, okay, we discussed the round room and the Civic League room. I forgot
yeah.
about the training lab.
Okay.
You want to do it the same as the Civic League?
What room are you calling the training lab?
It's back by genealogy. They can have training events.
It's one of those rooms where we had our training thing, when we met with the attorneys.
No, it's back here.
That was before.
Oh, it's back this way. Okay.
It's back behind the genealogy.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of out of the way. We have computers set up in there, and we can, people can do training.
I see. Okay.
What's being consistent for you? Wouldn't it be easier if we kept the same as what we did for the Civic League?
I would think so. And you're going to rent
okay,
that? 25. Yeah, because you're limiting the groups only 10 people can be in there. So 25, and that would be for, we want to do that for
training lab.
1 to 4 hours?
Yeah, same as Civic League.
Yeah, okay, same as Civic League,
okay.
And that'll make it simple.
Got it.
Okay. Okay, and then we've got nothing on the last page other than what we already had in place. Okay, and you're scratching the information about the Shakespeare room.
Yeah, we're not going to have the public use that room anymore because we use it all the time.
Okay.
Just all the time. And if someone's in there, we have to kick them out. So we just decided to make that library use only.
Okay. Does everybody see where that's at?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be deleted from our current policy then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we have any other discussion on that?
Yeah, we can approve it with the changes,
yeah.
Or I can change it and you can approve it in December. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You want her to make the changes and we approve it tonight, or her make the changes and we approve it next time?
I'm comfortable either way.
Okay.
Doing it
now. I think we've expressed it and she's got it written like we want it. But you can bring it back to us next time to look at and make sure we have a copy of it in our file for our current policy. So
yeah,
we know what's happening too.
Yeah, and we'll have it on January 1st. We'll have it up on our website.
Okay. Yeah, that's another reason to try to do it now so we can get it out. Yeah. Okay, so with all the changes that I hope everybody noted on there, then we're going to ask to approve the meeting room policy update for 2024. Do I hear a motion that we approve what the director has submitted plus the changes?
I move we accept the changes that she's...
Okay, motion's been made. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Motion, second's been made. Any further discussion? We're ready to vote. All in favor of the policy update, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, our Jonesboro Sun mentions.
And this is very important. Page 11.
Oh, no.
First of all, Allie composes this for me every month, and it looks beautiful. Thank you. But on page 11, under October 6th, this is not really library related, except that this is our board chairperson, Mike Smith. Mike Johnson. Sorry,
Smith is
sorry,
almost
Mr.
as
Smith.
Common as Johnson.
And this was his 102nd donation to Blue Cross Blue Shield.
The blood donation, yeah.
To Red Cross.
What Red Cross.
I've got insurance on my head right now. Mm-hmm. To Red Cross. So I just wanted to commend you for that.
Good. Well, since the newspaper's not here, we have a small group, let me just share a moment actually what was happening. There were several, about six people who can donate at one time. This was at the ROTC at ASU Armory. And there were about six people, and four of those were of the same family. It was a father, a mother, an older daughter who had, all three of them had finished, and their son who was a senior in high school. So he was just at the age where this was his first donation. So they come in from the Jonesboro Sun, and I'm in the first chair. This guy's in the son's in the second chair. And so she's there, and she says, I want to publicize the blood donations, you know, so we can get publicity and all that, and I'll put it in the newspaper. And so I had talked to the father because I knew him already. And so I said, well, this whole family has donated blood today, and this is his first blood donation. And I thought, man, that's spectacular. So the lady, you know, takes down their names and everything. And then the lady who that has the red thing on there, the nurse who was attending me, then she says, and this fella right here, he's donated 102 times, and he has a special blood type. And I thought, oh, man, like I'm from outer space or something like that. And so anyway, I tried to explain, you know, exactly what it was, and I thought, well, surely the whole family will get their picture in the paper because they took the pictures, but no, mine was in there, so that's what happened. But I the only thing special about my blood is it's A positive, which a lot of people have. Yeah, it's A positive, but I am CMV negative. CMV is a virus, kind of like the flu, which after you're born and you live for just not too very long, probably up to 5 years, you have already caught that virus. It has no ill effects on you after you've been born. And so most people don't even know that they have it. But some people never get that virus. And so consequently, since I'm one of those people, my blood, for anybody who's A positive, who is prenatal surgery, that is, they've not even been born yet, or they've just been born, then my blood can be used with them. Because if you give someone that the other kind of blood that's not CMV negative, it can cause problems with infants or prenatal when they're born. So consequently, the Red Cross calls me every time my time is up to come in because my blood, it can be used for those kinds of circumstances, and they have been. And they send me a note. My blood's been to Kansas City. It's been to St. Louis. Now, they don't tell me who it's for, but they just tell me, you know, where it's gone.
I love that.
And so I found that out the first time that we donated. All the guys in the college dorm, we went down. Because in those days, as old as I am, they paid $15 a pint if you donated blood. And back in the 60s, hey, that was date night. Yes, that was a movie and a pizza and So $15, that went a long way back then, right? Yes. And so once I found out that that was the situation, I felt like it's sort of a gift and my contribution to the world.
Well, and how many people have that and don't know it? So you're lucky you knew it and you could do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever go in, they will test your blood. And if you go to the hospital for anything, they will test your blood for that. After you tell them, you know, most people know they're A positive or, you know, O negative or something like that. But very few people know the other little tags that come on the end of that. And so that's why they try to match the blood that you need exactly with the person who's donated. So there's more than just the CMV that's tested on that. But that's the critical one for, like I said, infants and any prenatal surgery that has to be done before the baby is born. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
so now, hey, I was a high school biology teacher, so I just wanted to.
Well, 102 times. I mean, that's
well. Yeah, that's. I just showed you how old I am.
You get once a year.
Yeah. Okay, so now the important people in there. Go ahead and talk about the other folks here.
Oh,
your craft class.
We had a really, really good month.
Mm-hmm.
We had a craft class. I love that the paper publishes the bookmobile stops for the week.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do
and
too.
Then in the special edition Jonesboro Sun on the weekend that's available just electronically,
mm-hmm.
it has our new library books for the week. We have a lot of good activities. October is just a really, really busy month, and it's also quilt month. We display our quilts, and we love that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Allie. I'm glad you're here so I can thank you in front of everybody because she puts that together for me.
Yes, Allie. Thank you.
Good job.
Very much. Good publicity. A lot of good things happening.
Yeah.
We'll try to keep it going as long as we can.
I have some things on.
Okay. Unfinished business.
Yeah, I have a few things on that.
Okay.
So bids are out for construction of the new brick circle in front of the library. Don't have anything other than that, just that the bid requests are out. We don't have any bids yet. The Brooklyn Library is progressing with its expansion. The mayor is very supportive, and we're just so happy to be able to help that growing community. It's part of our library system, and it's just growing by leaps and bounds, and we're just thrilled to death that we're able to help, and the mayor has given us all kinds of support for that.
Good.
Also, this week, our crazy library people decided that they wanted to do a spirit week.
Mm-hmm.
So today is crazy hat day. So if you've seen people in the library with some hats on, a few of them have already left. That's why today was crazy hat day. And tomorrow is mix and match day. So that's going to be fun. I didn't wear a hat today because I wanted it to be fluffy for the board meeting. But anyway, so thank you, everybody. And also, every time they wear whatever day it is, the clothing for the day, then they get their name put in a pot for a prize. So there's going to be some prizes for it.
What's the weirdest day you're going to have as far as that goes?
I say mix and match day. Oh, no. Friday is pajama day. Yeah. So
any chance we could get the whole group together and have a group picture of the everybody in their pajamas at the library?
Yeah. Chrissy's been doing a really good job.
I think
photos.
That'd be fantastic.
So pajama day's Friday.
That's a memorial. A memory for everybody who's worked here.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun day. So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So
what's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is mix and match day. So anything that doesn't...
You know, like you used to go to school?
Yeah, you know, like purple and brown or whatever. And then Wednesday is Library Spirit Day. And Thursday is Sweater Day and also Thank Someone Thursday. So we're going to pass out notes to people that mean a lot to us at the library. So
great.
No favorite sports team day?
We'll do this again next year. So who knows? But today, Crazy Hat Day... Sarah Keith actually wore her 20-year-old Razorback hat. Big plastic one,
the original Uncle Hattie's with the like the bits.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. All nailed on it.
We just kind of figured when she was talking about the budget, you wouldn't be thinking about it if she had her hat on. So
yeah.
She didn't. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Everybody's been doing a really good job and working
yes.
really hard, and I appreciate it very much.
After Saturday, I wouldn't have worked.
I'm still a fan.
Yeah.
Our family. This is just part of what happened 20 years ago.
Yes.
So that's all I got.
Okay. Any new business? Do we want to talk about that anymore? Okay, that's it. Okay, we'll limit any public comments if there's anyone who wants to make a comment about anything that happened at this meeting. Has to be this meeting. We can't go back to previous ones or forecasting future ones. Okay, see none? That's good. All right. We're ready to adjourn then, I believe. I entertain a motion that we adjourn.
So moved.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. No discussion. Ready to vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We're dismissed at 7:30.
6:30.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Clock's wrong. 6:30.
You can sit here. Now.